And whenever I have a client who starts as a client first, my goal by the end of that is to have a friendship second.
Okay.
So that people don't leave me thinking this was just, you know, she just wanted her paycheck.
Just a transaction.
Yeah.
Welcome to Agent Success Podcast. If you're a real estate agent looking to succeed in today's crazy market, well, you're in the right place. Each week, we talk with successful real estate agents willing to share their expert insights, trade secrets, and mindset that help them to succeed. There's no fluff, just straight to the point content that prioritizes one thing above all, your success. So without further ado, let's cut to the chase.
Welcome to another episode of Cut to the Chase at AgentSuccessPodcast.com. I have with me a totally awesome real estate agent that I've known for quite a few years. Miss Devin, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Give us a quick introduction. Where do you work? What do you do?
Well, I sell real estate. I'm with eXp Realty. I've done it since 2015.
Okay.
Almost licensed at 9 years in October.
Holy cow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I knew you when you very first got your license.
You did. You met me right away.
And 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's. Do you feel like an expert at this point?
I would like to say yes, but every deal kind of fools me on that one because I learn something new every single time.
I got this down. You're like, son of a gun, what is this all about?
Pretty much, yeah.
All right. And you work at eXp?
I do.
Oh, excuse me. How long have you been at eXp?
Just over a year. It was my year.
See, that was funny. I just burped in the microphone.
I just passed by it. I didn't even acknowledge
That was awesome. She has little kids. Weird noises come out at all times. She just continues.
I just move on.
Should we talk about real estate or my gas problem?
Whatever here? You'd like to.
Okay, let's go with real estate.
Perfect.
Okay, right on.
Yep.
Okay, so eXp for how long?
Just a year. A year in March. Mm-hmm.
Okay, right. And how is that your second company you've been at?
It is.
Okay. And how do you like, because it's a little bit more virtual.
It is.
Right? Mm-hmm. And does that work for you, more of a virtual world?
It does for me. Okay. I can understand why it wouldn't work for everybody, mm-hmm. but I am very self-motivated, so it didn't bother me to not have an office to go to. Mm-hmm. And actually, there's most days that I welcome it because I can get work done in my jammies, and I'm okay with that. And so for me, it works. There's always a learning curve because, you know, finding where each tool is who you need to contact is a little bit different.
So you mentioned that you're pretty self-motivated. I think a lot of real estate agents like to say that, but they, and loan officers as well, we like to say that, but we run into a problem in that other people have higher demands on us than we have on ourselves. Whereas a highly entrepreneur and highly motivated person, somebody else can never impose harder requirements.
No, nobody's going to make me work harder than I make myself work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they can tell me everything that they want to tell me. Maybe I can learn an efficiency from them.
Yeah.
Or maybe I could learn something like that. But I'm going to wake up every morning and I'm going to work every single day and I have my goals and they change. Yeah. You know what I mean? As you progress. But at the same time, having self-discipline mm-hmm. in there is pretty huge. Now, you've had some pretty good success in real estate. Why do you think some people succeed and some people fail? And you can't steal the answer that I just said because people are motivated. So you have to go with your own.
One, I think you have to have a heart for people. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people get into real estate potentially for the wrong reasons.
Would be what? HGTV,
that
Property Brothers.
You know, they think they're going to become millionaires overnight. They're going to make all kinds of money, and I think a lot of those people end up failing in the business. Yeah.
Well, I thought it was interesting. I saw it the other day. With this NAR thing that's going mm-hmm. on, there's this guy on Twitter because it's the only social platform I'm on because I think the rest of them are evil and horrible. But
good to know.
Yay, Twitter. Right. So anyway, this is as much about me as it is you here, Devin. Okay. So,
I support it.
Okay, good. Thank you. A guy had mentioned that, all these conversations people are having with a NAR lawsuit. And, he said that the average real estate agent income is $58,000. That does not include your marketing. It doesn't include, it basically doesn't include anything. You know, it doesn't include health insurance. It doesn't include a guaranteed paycheck. It doesn't include, like, none of that. But when you're good at real estate, you can make a lot of money, but a vast majority. So you figure, make a lot of money, medium's 58, at least according to this guy, and then how many thousands and millions are way below that just as a passive part-time thing, right? Mm-hmm. So why did you get into real estate? Don't say HGTV. Well, you can say that if you want. But
that's not why I got into real estate. I had always had a passion for people and serving people. And then the other part of it was real estate. I grew up in it. My parents bought and sold real estate my entire childhood. Oh. And they did a commercial drywall my whole youth. And so I was used to that atmosphere. But then I had the backing of just loving people. So my people always come first. And then the paycheck always comes second, in my opinion.
It's so when I first met you, you were a server at Red Robin.
I was.
And you have to like people to do success, have success at that. Because I don't know what it is about Red Robin, but that place gets crazy busy.
It's very busy.
It's crazy, right? Mm-hmm. And with that, how long did you do that?
I worked at Red Robin for 6 years, but I had served tables for like almost 10.
So you have to have either a love or a patience or like a masochistic type mindset.
I think to be good at it, I mean, there's a lot of people out there who are serving tables who are not
great at
their job, but I mean, I've probably done over 20 deals with just people who I used to serve at Red Robin.
They were clients. Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, so they're people who turned into Facebook friends and who have friends and who have referred me people, all from just being their server at Red Robin.
So you need to be in real estate, because what happens is most people is they don't nurture a relationship.
Yeah.
Right? You nurtured it from the time you were bringing them French fries and hamburgers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You were nurturing it anyway.
Yep.
So you're born for this. It's natural.
Yeah. I mean, it's not easy.
Well, no, of course it's not easy.
It's an intentional thing, and it's something I enjoy.
Yeah.
There's some days I don't enjoy it, and those days I check out a little bit, and I take a breath, and I hang out with my kids or whatever, and then I jump back on it the next day.
Speaking of kids, you have – what, you have like 13 of them?
Four. Same as 13.
So it may as well be.
It might as well be.
It's just a zoo. Mm-hmm. With that, a lot of real estate agents are moms.
They are.
And some of them are young moms and have young kids. How on earth is that possible? Like when you have to deal with diapers, crying kids, somebody's choking on something, somebody hit somebody, somebody drew on a marker on the wall. And
daily. All those things every day. Yeah.
And you have to go show a $750,000 house out in Black Forest and know everything about it and be able to do your CMAs. Like, what do you do?
I mean, I think the more kids you have, the more that you can actually juggle. The more that I can do so much more today than I could when I only had one.
Really?
Yeah. You just, because your brain just goes into, I got to get this done mode, and nothing really can distract you any longer. The noise doesn't bother you. You just do it. You have to do it. Sometimes I do it at 10 o'clock at night. Last week, or so the week before last, I went on to 5 listing appointments in 1 week. And so I was doing CMAs and net sheets at 10 o'clock at night because I had to prepare for the next day's listing appointments. And
holy cow.
That happened after I put all 4 kids to bed. And so, you just do it because you have to. There's no other option there. So you just, I think it gets easier the more kids I have.
Interesting. So if you have like 4 more kids,
I'm not.
But you're going to be super efficient.
No more kids.
Okay, no more kids. Well, really, the main thing is how do you juggle it, right? It's not even the, like, if it's a single mom that has 1 kid or 3 kids or 4 kids, there's always something. There's soccer. There's school. There's something. Now, I remember when you used to bring your daughter into the office.
Yep.
And I remember one time I tried to give her a balloon and you wouldn't let her have one. And you said that you hate balloons. Do you still hate balloons?
I still hate balloons.
Why do you hate balloons?
I just
this is 10 years ago and I've actually held on to that and I've waited for this exact moment.
This was so impactful to you.
I've waited for this exact moment to ask you about balloons.
Wow, that's, you know, you could have asked me this 10 years ago, but that's all right. I just don't like them.
It's not balloons.
I don't like the texture. I don't like the noise.
So let's relate this to real estate. What do you do at an open house when somebody wants balloons?
I don't do open houses.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, so because of the balloons?
That's number one.
Okay.
No. No. I don't do open houses for a lot of reasons.
Okay.
One, I always like to support our less established agents in the business. So if they're willing and able, then I
let them do open house on one of your properties.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And two, I like to make sure I'm using my time wisely. And for me, in my experience, I don't have great, luck at open houses. So
gotcha.
I utilize that time to be with my kids or working in other capacities.
Well, I see a lot of agents find what works for them. And some agents, you have to copy other agents to figure it out.
Yeah.
Right. But eventually you find what works for you. There's certain things that I don't do now in the mortgage industry that I used to do. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for my personality. It doesn't work for how I operate. It just doesn't flow for me, right? But other people totally rock at it, just not for me.
Yep.
So I'm glad we got through the balloon thing. That was good.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad we got to rest.
We can move past this now. Yeah, we can move past this now.
We can move That's forward awesome. In this relationship.
I'm comfortable with that. So in these clients that you have from your serving days, is it just mainly like how do you stay in touch with them? Is it mainly social media? Do you intentionally make phone calls? Do you do pop buys? Like what is it that you do?
I have a fairly robust marketing plan.
Ooh, well, let's dig deep.
My clients get gifts almost every single month.
Holy smokes.
Every single month.
Wow.
In the mail. I don't do pop buys because there's like 200 of them.
Gotcha.
But yeah, consistently every month they get a gift in the mail and they get market update cards and I friends on Facebook and I text them about their dogs and their kids and their. But to me, it's still a relationship. So just because they were clients doesn't remove the fact that there was a friendship first.
Gotcha.
And whenever I have a client who starts as a client first, my goal by the end of that is to have a friendship second.
Okay.
So that people don't leave me thinking this was just, she just wanted her paycheck.
Just a transaction.
And she was out. Yeah. Exactly.
It's like hiring an attorney.
Yep.
They're never going to call me and wish me happy birthday.
No.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
So, can you give me some examples of gifts that you would say? And are they the same for everybody every month? Because that would be
consistently.
Very... Consistently.
Okay. Yeah. No. So, everyone's on that same mailing list. I put that in quotes because it's not a list. It's a relationship of people that I have addresses for,
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
So, calling it a list makes it seem very unimportant. But, examples. So one Thanksgiving, everyone got turkey basters in the mail.
Okay.
So they got that for Thanksgiving. One Thanksgiving, they got turkey thermometers in the mail.
Interesting. So you went out and bought 200 turkeys. Amazon loves you right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's just one example. There's been years where people got beach balls in the mail for summer or they've gotten... I don't know.
Wow.
Valentine's Day, that everyone got candles and little...
You mailed these to everybody.
Uh-huh.
So that, for all the other agents that listen to this, first off, do you use a service? Or do you do it yourself? And is it crazy expensive? Because this is sounding expensive to me.
It is expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's expensive, but it's beneficial. I mean, because my people don't tend to leave me once they have...
And
become my people.
And that's hard. That is probably one of the most difficult things for real estate agents. They're so good at the hunt that they're horrible at the nurture.
Yeah. And I don't like I like the hunt too, because then we're adding people to that relationship that I've, can establish with people. But I would prefer to nurture what I've got and grow on that instead of hunting.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Deal.
Are women better at nurturing their clients, realtors?
I think they're just different. Okay. I've seen
in today's society, you have to be very politically correct with this. But
now I see male realtors who just have a different type of relationship mm-hmm. with people, and their you know, database of people is just different. They're yeah. their car buddies or their football buddies or
gotcha.
Whatever. And then I think females can just nurture a, maybe just a larger demographic of people
yeah.
And be a little bit more successful at that. But, I mean, there's lots of very successful male realtors.
That's a great conclusion. Thank you for reeling me in on mm-hmm. that. That was awesome.
No problem.
I don't know that I would mail somebody a candle.
No, probably not.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe a butcher knife or like something really tough, you know?
There's been all, I mean, there's a lot of fun things that I yeah. mail, though. It's not just a candle. So, but I've done pop-bys of wine bottles for like Valentine's Day, wine corks with little hearts on them. Yeah, there's things okay. that I'm definitely going to be, that it's acceptable
yeah.
for me to send that probably would not be acceptable for you.
Do you make these? How does this work?
Part-time assistant who okay. now, she does a lot of just marketing. That's her whole okay. kind of purpose is follow-up marketing for yeah. me. I mean, we brainstorm consistently together as to what we're going to do, what that looks like, and then we figure out the next pieces of it all. But she builds all custom postcards for me for every single mailing.
Holy smokes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's,
it's an expensive adventure.
Because now you're paying an assistant. Mm-hmm. You're paying for it to send it out. But it's amazing all the people that want this to work and not – they don't make the phone calls. They don't send the – and first off, monthly, that's a lot more. Mm-hmm. Some people are annually.
Mm-hmm.
The
when it started there.
Okay.
Didn't start at monthly. I don't think anything can start there. It's a yeah. year, highly unrealistic. That's like starting a workout regimen, right? And now you're working out 3 times a day, 7 oh, yeah. days a week. Like yeah. it's never going to work. You're going to fail.
Yeah. yeah. And you're never going to, and on Tuesday, you're never going to go back to the gym on Wednesday.
Yeah. It's just done. Not going to happen. Yeah. So you have to start somewhere. So it started in the beginning of my career. I sent out scratch tickets in the month of March. Like that's literally where it started. I did that. That was the first thing I sent as like, a gift that year.
Go to Come and Go and buy a bunch of lottery tickets.
Yeah, you know, okay. so it was for St. Patrick's Day. Like, yeah. That was literally like the first one. And I did that. That was the only thing I did that year. Everyone got that from me. Like, so woohoo.
So
and then it grew from there.
Then did it grow into quarterly?
Or whenever there was like a holiday that we could kind of match something up with, then
Fourth
we
of July,
did that.
Christmas, mm-hmm. something like that. Okay,
and then it grew into just some monthly fun.
Just send it out every
thing.
Single month.
Mm-hmm.
Do you? So how do you? How would a real estate agent plan for this? Do you sit down one time a year and say, "Let's map out the year"? Is it every month?
I wish we were that organized okay. with it. No. I mean, my assistant now, I mean, at first she needed a lot more like nudging for mm-hmm. what to find and what to do. And now she comes up with all of her own little okay. fun ideas and, yeah. you know, she prices them out and finds them all. And then I
so
confirm
you're,
it.
So you're able it. To basically, she understands the flow at this point. She yep. knows what you're trying to do and she can.
Yeah, she can navigate it.
Interesting. Yeah. So that's an awesome nurturing mm-hmm. thing. That's most people. Now, do you make personal phone calls?
Yeah, I mean, to an extent, okay. You know, as often as I should, probably not. I'm a little bit better about texting with people or.
I feel like that's about the same though. Like you're having
anymore.
You're having a personal communication yeah. with them.
You know, and there's like when I was pregnant with my last child, there were people that I hadn't talked to.
I like that you stated that's a last child.
My last child. Yeah. Last child. There were people I hadn't talked to since before I had him, and all of them were like, well, make sure you text me when you have the baby. Well, that's really hard to do. So literally like
12
last
a.m.
week.
Just had the baby an hour.
Yeah, last week I finally had updated like all of these people that had asked me to text them. And he was 10 weeks old. You know, it took me a little time to get there. But none of them were surprised. You know, none of them were shocked that I was like, hey, had the baby. It was a relationship. Mm-hmm. We had built that friendship. They were excited for my baby just as much as I was excited for my baby. So to me, it's way more than just real estate. That's the end. that's the product, but to me, it's everything else that goes.
Do you
it.
Only mail to past clients?
No.
Okay. No. So you have certain targets, maybe. And I call I understand, very impersonal, lists, targets. But in reality, you're not mailing to every single person in your zip code.
No,
right?
No.
So there's certain people that you're going to want to do that with, even if you haven't closed a transaction with them. So for the sake of relationships, I'm going to call them targets. So you have certain targets outside of your closed loan list.
I do.
Okay.
Friends, neighbors, people that I see regularly.
Okay.
My daughter's soccer team's parents.
There's
some people, you know, once they kind of know me and I know them, then they get thrown on that list. And people can come off of it.
Yeah.
That's the thing I had learned in the beginning of real estate, that you don't have, just because you added someone doesn't mean you have to leave them there.
Ah, interesting. So don't particularly like Joey anymore. So he's out.
Well, you know, some people who you think are going to be supportive of you in your future are not always the people who
are usually that's usually your relatives.
There's some of those, but you know, I've realized that not everybody needs me to be part of their story, and that's okay. And then at that point in time, they don't need to be part of mine.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah. Ooh, I like that. Mm-hmm. That's very self-empowering right there. You know, speaking of gifts, one time before Amazon, before I knew about Amazon, I went onto eBay and I had to order from China, these bamboo back scratchers, right? And I was going to give them out to all my real estate agents. This is like a really long time ago, like probably almost 20 years ago, right? And so I went onto eBay.
Everyone knew that when you said eBay, just so you know. You didn't really have to tell us a year.
The truth is I was using AOL at the time too. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So this box shows up. And there's just all these bamboo back scratchers. And then I bought a wood burner.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sat there for, like, me and my wife for, like, hours and days. And we burned in the company
logo.
Yeah, logo on there.
Yeah.
Like, over and over. But I think if I smelled burning bamboo right now, I would probably, like, it'd spark some sort of, like,
anxiety.
Yeah, it's like, 114 more. Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, you got to do what you got to do, right?
Yeah.
And at that particular time, that was, I don't know why people liked them, but they did. So I also gave away an iPod that was about the size of this, and people loved that at a trade show. So it was probably closer to the size of that. That was like the first generation iPod, you know? So we've moved past all those things.
Have.
But
now our phones are that size.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's weird, huh?
Yeah.
Going down right.
Yep.
Oh, now they're huge. I actually switched to a flip phone about a year ago.
And then switched back?
Well, I broke three of them. The Samsung Z Flip thing. I don't know why they kept breaking on me.
Maybe because we're not supposed to flip a
glass
surface.
That could possibly be it.
Just an idea.
I don't know. Yeah, I really like the idea of a small phone, but yeah, now I'm back to the clunky big brick in my pocket. So,
but it works.
It does. It the calls come in. Speaking of which, you got your.
I know.
You have your watch does all that, right?
Just
there you go.
Cover it.
So back to real estate.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to you maybe, I don't know, a few years ago, and you were buying some Airbnbs.
Yep.
At the time. Do you still have those? Do you still do them? Do you still find it to be a viable thing for you?
So we have three.
Okay.
We have one in Colorado Springs, one in Tempe, Arizona, and one in Cape Coral, Florida.
Okay. So all the places you want to visit.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
We figured if we were going to put our money on the line, we might as well like it.
You may as well be able to hang out there for a few weeks.
Yeah. They've been good to us, but it's a full-time job. My hubby
manages.
But he does. Yeah. Okay. He manages them fully. So he hires the pool people and the bug people and the whatever people.
Yeah.
It takes up a substantial amount of his time, but we do manage them.
Is it do you think it's still valuable for people to do that, to buy Airbnbs? I know there's a lot of restrictions on them, and there's a lot of.
I think it just depends on where you're at and what your intention is with them. Again, there, you know, if you think you're gonna buy a house and throw some Goodwill furniture in it, and make
not gonna work
a whole bunch of money, it's not gonna work. You have to provide value. You have to provide an experience. There's way more decorations in my Airbnbs than there are in my own personal home.
You're like, wow.
Like, Airbnb, I put way more effort into them than I did my own house. And so.
So if you were going to buy another one, where would you buy one?
That's a good question. We really haven't thought about it because we don't want to add to the collection at the moment. Okay. But I'm a big fan of Arizona, so I'd probably consider that again.
Are you licensed in Arizona?
I'm not.
Okay. Why don't you do that?
I mean,
because you're not there enough.
Gotcha. To be honest, this is my personal opinion. Yeah. But I think that agents are doing a disservice to their community when you're licensed
bouncing back
into
and forth.
Different places.
Well, plus real estate, you can always refer.
Yeah, so I don't know why we don't. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's just because I've got 4 kids and I'm pretty busy. That the thought of trying to sell real estate in another state is a little overwhelming.
Yeah, Tempe's nice. I like it more in the winter time because it gets stupid hot. In the sun, like I was down there one time and we didn't have AC in the vehicle, but this was like in the 90s, right?
Yeah.
When it was like normal not to have AC in the vehicle. It was like,
your own vehicle?
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It felt like, have you ever gone camping and stand in front of a bonfire?
I've never gone camping.
You've never gone camping?
No.
You hate balloons and camping.
I hate camping. I just said I've never been.
Camping is, I like taking a shower every day, so camping sometimes is rough. But have you ever stood in front of a bonfire?
Yep.
A heater.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Pick one. Yep.
That direct heat hitting right in front of your face, right? I remember driving down. I was probably in between, I don't know, Tempe and maybe Phoenix or something. And I'm driving. And I remember like having the window down. I'm like trying to like, you know, because in Colorado you put. You roll the window down and I kind of put my head out the window and it was like this.
Like a blow dryer on
your
face.
Yeah, exact blow dryer. Are you familiar with blow dryers?
I am familiar with those.
Blow dryers, okay,
yes.
Good. Just having that direct, you're just like, oh, there's no escape.
No.
There's like literally no escape. You go try to find shade. It doesn't matter.
No.
It doesn't matter.
No.
It's still miserable.
Yeah.
So here's an idea. Take all your Airbnb clients. Turn them into real estate clients. Have you thought about that?
Well, it's so funny that you say that because I have turned one of my Airbnb guests into a client. Yeah.
Okay.
So you can do it sometimes.
Well, that'd be interesting because you figure, you know, they like to live in houses because they don't like hotels or / apartments, so they want to be in a house. So that would be a good target for you.
But what's crazy? I mean, they're not really visiting to stay. They're visiting. For vacation.
That's
the vast
true.
Majority of them. So, I mean, it's kind of tough to turn them into clients, but, you know.
That'd be an interesting approach. As you figure, like, a property manager has a renter. Eventually, they want to, these are just short-term rentals.
Yeah, but we're talking 3 days.
Yeah.
We're not talking even a month. You know,
but you still managed to do it.
I did. One. One.
Yeah. Okay.
Of all of them. I turned one of them into a client.
So your husband, if I remember correctly, he also was a Red Robin employee way back in the days, right?
He was. He was a regional operations director for Red Robin when he quit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did you guys meet at Red Robin?
I mean, through the grapevine.
Through the grapevine. Through different, okay. All
yeah, right. We were in different stores,
gotcha.
So there was no funny business, you know. Like, we were in different
we're
stores.
We're not going, I asked you if there's anything I can't talk about, I just thought I'd ask. So he manages the Airbnbs and helps with that kind of stuff at this point, right? And does he do anything else in your real estate business with you?
No.
Okay, just that.
Yeah, I mean, I force him to come with me when I'm meeting a stranger because, you know, people are a little crazy these
days.
And
he's 6'4" and strong.
Yeah, so I make him go with me on first meets every once in a while. But
make sure it's,
That I'm not going to be kidnapped or sold on the black market. I'm just, you know, but outside of that, no, I don't make him do any part of real estate with me.
Is that intentional?
Yeah, it's not his job.
Okay.
You know, this is my job. This is my career.
Interesting.
It's what I have a passion for and what I enjoy doing.
Okay.
It's not his passion. It's not his – it wasn't his goal to
sell
real estate one day.
Like, I'm very successful being a regional manager, operations manager at Red Robin, and now I'm going to go be your assistant at real estate.
Yeah, you know, and we already both work from home. So then to be like, hey, I need you to lick these stamps for me. Like, that would just never fly.
Yeah.
And that would create some tension that I am not – really up for. So
interesting.
We keep it separate. I mean, he listens to me
complain
or troubleshoot or do
things. Every but he's not doing licensed. Your CMAs. Nope. He's not doing your open houses for you. None of that kind of stuff. Interesting. Nope. A lot of people like to mix those two.
That's together. Not my thing.
Not your thing. Mm-mm. Okay. Can we jump back to some nurturing really quickly on your clients? Is it just the gifts and the texts, or is it, do you do like events? Do you do like bigger things for the clients? Does that make sense?
I do. I have.
Okay.
Last year I did not because I was pregnant and it was a bit of a rough pregnancy for me. So I did not last year, but, 3 years prior to that, all 3 years prior to that, I did a pumpkin patch event and everybody got to come to the pumpkin patch.
You like rented a whole pumpkin patch or what?
I didn't rent it, but we had like our own space inside of a pumpkin patch.
Okay.
And
bring
your kids, get a pumpkin, you know, the day. And so, and then I had little goody houses for everybody.
What's a goody house?
It was like a little box shaped as a house.
Okay.
Super cute.
Did you have your assistant do that?
Some of it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. It depends on the year. The first year, no, it was mostly me, but.
Well, so you start off you giving away a scratch ticket and then you doing a couple more and then you doing quarterly or monthly, getting an assistant, they're going to start doing it. How many, and this may sound, I don't want to like sound naive in this because I know like a boxed answer, but like to really think about like, if you didn't do this nurturing, like percentage wise, how much would you think that would have impacted your business?
Oh, I mean, I don't even know but substantially.
Okay.
Probably 75%.
Oh, wow. You know, most agents don't do nurturing.
Yeah, but they're
terrible at it.
But they're always chasing that next deal.
Yeah.
And I'm chasing deals in a sense, but not like that, you know.
Do you love your clients more than you love your kids?
My kids would probably say
yes. It sounds to me
yes.
like I'd be spoiled if I was a client. Yeah.
Yeah, my kids would probably say yes because of how attached my phone is to me and the phone calls at 9 o'clock at night and whatever. But no, I definitely love my kids first.
That's good. The reason I say that kind of jokingly, but the reason I say that is this is a lot of effort that you put into clients, into past clients. Do you find it natural to do it the way you do it? Or is it, of course there's effort, but do you find it a natural flow for you?
It was a natural flow for me.
Okay.
It was an easy, and which is funny because if you've ever read the 5 love languages, gift giving is not my jam.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not great at gift giving, but for whatever reason, this was an easy way to show appreciation, to remind people that I'm still here, that I'm still here to help. And it was an easy process. Yeah. And maybe because they're kind of cheesy, you know, and the postcards are a little cheesy, but it's fun.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
Yeah, but 75% of your business, that's the difference between being a successful agent and just keep working another job and doing this part-time.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah, but and then you got to add like the anniversary notes and the thank you notes and the.
So, but it's, you know, it's interesting because a lot of times, like if you were to take your playbook for nurturing and you take that and you write it all out and you script it and you hand it to somebody, it may be really painful for another agent to go through and do. That's why I was asking if it's a natural.
It was.
Natural flow for you. So out of those 5 love languages, if you had to pick your love language for real estate agent, like for clients, what would be your communication love style?
Oh, I'm an acts of service person.
Okay.
So, I mean, last year I painted someone's house, literally myself. Me and my assistant, she was not happy with me that day. I was like, what are you doing today? She's like, working. I'm like, yeah, you are. Let's go.
Wow. Did you use like a Wagner spray or did you just roll it?
We like hand painted 2 different banisters and we painted like 4 rooms.
Oh my goodness.
It was a whole thing. Yeah.
Why did you do this?
Because my client was overwhelmed with life at that time.
Yeah.
And she was under contract to purchase a home for her and her husband and their 10 kids. And we
could. How many kids?
10. And we were having some challenges with selling her property. Now, it was only on the market 28 days, but 28 days.
3 years ago, 28 days is
well, insane. And this was just last year. So oh, that was
why'd
even
I think
a
it was, why'd you say three? Did, no, I don't did I make know. Up 3 years ago?
Possibly.
I made that up. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's okay. But we, at 28 days, when you're waiting to purchase a home, mm-hmm. I mean, it was a long time. They had moved out of their home because it was, it, you know, trying to sell a house with 10 yeah. kids. It was too much. So they were just so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, what can I do to make this easier for you?
Wow.
And so we, after looking at all the feedback and trying to figure out what
like
was
when you say feedback, all the other agents that would yeah. come through or whatever. Okay.
Yeah. And so we were just, what's the best course of action? And I felt like painting it was going to change the mentality of the home. Mm. And it did. We painted it, and within like 24 hours, we had a
what?
Yeah, we had a full really? Price offer on it.
Wow!
And they closed in like 3.5 weeks, and they were able to move into.
Who paid for
house.
The paint?
My client did, but did not pay for my time or my assistant's time, and that one that was all on me.
Gotcha. But acts of service. That's,
yeah,
that's
for sure.
Massive. That's yeah. huge.
Sometimes to my demise, I mean, there are days where I'm like. Okay, maybe I went a little too far
Devin,
with my
you can
servicing.
Slow it down.
yeah. So you gotta reel it in sometimes, but yeah. for sure.
Interesting. I would have a hard time with that. I'm more of a selfish type person. I want people to come paint my house. is what I want. but having
it's not gonna be me.
Yeah. I was kind of fishing for that. I was like, if I list my house,
if you want to list your house with me, I will come help paint it.
Okay, great. Well, so I have dogs and 2 kids, and the chaos that comes from that. 10 kids. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was a lot, and she was just very overwhelmed. So there, you know, it was an opportunity for me to. Help her yeah. in that process.
If you were to go to a brand new city that you've never, not Tempe, not, what was it, Coral?
Something. Cape Coral.
Cape Coral, yeah. Mm-hmm. I almost called it Fort Coral, and then I realized I didn't know what I was talking about. So
you're
Cape
close.
Coral.
Fort Myers is real close.
I was very, so yeah. it's Fort Coral, halfway in between. Halfway it's like the 50, between. It's like the, yeah.
Yeah,
it's the halfway
close.
Mark. Mm-hmm. And not Colorado Springs. You had to go somewhere new. How would you start your real estate business? Because acts of service and nurturing are great, but you have to start mm-hmm. somewhere to be able to do the things that you absolutely rock at.
Yeah.
What would you do?
I would find a way to connect with the community in some capacity.
Okay. Like
what that looks like, that's a darn good question. Working at the you know, the pound and helping people with their dogs or cats or somewhere with the community where you can make it.
My
impact.
Gosh, you're a good human. I'm feeling like I need to up my game a little bit.
But how do you connect? You got to connect with people.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you can connect with people, people will then find other people for you to connect with.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can start somewhere like that, especially if you don't know anybody, you've got to make friends anyway. So then, you know, or join a, I don't know, bowling league. Something where you can talk to people and connect with people.
Gotcha. Then start friends. Nurturing from mm-hmm. there. Interesting.
That's what I would do.
So.
And then, you know, you could possibly buy some leads here and
yeah.
there.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
we've all done it from time to time.
Sure.
And that's okay.
Yeah. Well, some people, that's their entire business model is buying leads, right?
Which that's a lot of work, in my opinion.
That is a ton of work, mm-hmm. following up with every, yeah. It is a lot
people
of
People think what I do is a lot of work, but I think buying leads and following up with strangers consistently is a lot of work.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned strangers because this whole conversation, we've talked about connection. We've mm-hmm. talked about nurturing. We've talked about friends and acts of service. And so I guess that shows, you know, your thought process even on leads because you are literally dealing with total strangers. It's mm-hmm. You're not in a bowling lead. You're not working at the pound. You're not making a connection with somebody who needs a little new little fluffy, you know. You are dealing with somebody who found you online and possibly turning you into a commodity by trying to chop down what you make or whatever it is. It's a total stranger. So that would be very difficult. At least a warm lead, right? At least a warm,
yeah.
You know, my neighbor's thinking about selling mm-hmm. their house. Like something
yeah.
that would be a lot easier. Do you not buy any leads right now?
I don't.
Okay. When was the last? So you're about to say something, but
so I'm – I mean, I am connected with like the Redfin partner agent, so I'm a Redfin partner agent.
Okay. What is that exactly? That's on Redfin's site, right?
Yes. So they, I mean, when they have leads that come through that they don't give to their own agents.
Maybe they don't have an agent in the area or?
I don't really know exactly how they funnel them completely. Mm-hmm. They don't quite disclose that, how they funnel them to me. But there's like four of us in Colorado Springs, four or five of us, and I'm one of them.
Okay.
So I do get those. I don't pay for them on the front end. They're it's a referral fee at the end.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you find those to be pretty decent?
I do. Yeah, I enjoy them quite a bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you do like strangers.
They're still an online lead.
Okay.
So they still take a little bit more handholding and different things, but they have a little bit more intention that I have found than
compared
some other.
To like the other lead aggregators.
Yeah.
What kind of conversion ratio do you have
on that one?
Yeah.
It's like 7.6, I think, is what my conversion is on it.
Yeah, it's not bad.
No.
Yeah. So, sorry, I keep getting calls here. What I try to do is I try to leave my phone on during the entire conversation. That's like the third time, right? Between burping in the microphone.
Yeah.
I'm just very comfortable with you. That's so it's like I can just do my thing.
Well, when you're holding on to a balloon story from 10 years ago, I don't
I actually didn't remember that until I was sitting there thinking about a half hour before you got here. I was like, man, I gotta think of something with Devin that's
what you came up with? A balloon story?
Literally, that is what I came up with. I came up with your adorable little daughter coming to the office.
Yeah, she was cute.
And then me trying to get in good with her and being denied because of the balloon. So
she would probably still remember that story too, because balloons have traumatized her and my dislike for them.
The lack of balloons.
Yeah. Yep.
It's like, it's my birthday, but you can't tell.
Yeah, 14 years of no balloons for that child. She's pretty traumatized.
So no helium lessons on none of that. Mm-mm. Okay. Nice. Nope. So you move to a new city. You decide that you're going to join a bowling league and a puppy.
They're just idea. I'm trying to find ways for people to connect, and build some friendships. Because in my experience in real estate, if you can have a friendship, you will have clients.
Why do most agents fail? Because a large majority do fail. So from what you've seen.
I think it just goes back to that root of that their people weren't ever at the forefront of their business. If you look at the vast majority of successful agents, they're going to be embedded in relationships. They have a very large, robust marketing plan and events and different things. And they didn't start there, but they built to that.
To that, yeah.
And the only reason they were able to get there was because they kept their relationships first.
Yeah.
And so all of them know. I mean, there's probably very successful agents that are not great at relationships, but they better be damn good at real estate then, because they still made it.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing is, like, it's for you, the way you do it would be very difficult for me.
Yeah.
Extremely difficult. It's not that I don't like people, because I actually, contrary to popular belief, I actually like people quite a lot. But that I don't have that knack for the constant follow-up. Like somebody I went to high school with, as an example, I won't see them for like 5 or 10 years, right? We won't even talk. We won't even nothing. And then we'll see each other or just randomly message each other and be like, oh, yeah, man, let's go out get lunch.
That's such a guy thing.
But it's like we've been hanging out. Like,
yeah,
I'm just saying, for me, that would be very difficult.
Yeah.
Whereas other agents find success, like maybe in open houses, where you don't, right? So it's interesting to dig into see where you're finding your success, because it is a little bit unique to go to that level of.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree to that.
So what does Devin and her family do when you have four children, total utter chaos? You have a new baby that needs Devin all the time. You have your three-year-old who, based off the snowboarding glasses picture with all that, very independent, a 6-year-old and a 14-year-old, right? And then you do real estate full-time. Your husband's working from home. When it's time to chill, like when you're like, okay, we got to shut it down. Is there ever a shutdown period?
Unfortunately, I don't think there's really ever a shutdown period, but I do try to navigate it mm-hmm. where, you know, when it is my free time with my children, that they don't know I am doing other things gotcha. At that same moment in time. But we like to go to the pool. We yeah. we love, you know, the park. We like to go to the beach when we're in Florida. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, we find things yeah. to do that you can do.
Sounds
with
like you.
Kids.
Sounds. I was gonna say it sounds like you do things as a family.
Yeah, we very family focused.
Yeah, yep. as opposed to mom and dad are gonna. Go roll the dice in Vegas. You kids are going to stay with grandma and grandpa for a month.
We do try to take one Vegas trip a year without the children. Okay. That is a goal okay. of ours, and we normally go for 4 days, 3 nights. It's okay. like very...
It sounds yeah. very intentional.
It's yeah. very intentional. Yeah. But for the most part, we're very family-focused, which yeah. the job gives me that opportunity, and I'm yeah. thankful for that.
Well, that's totally awesome. Yeah. I'm really excited that you... took the time to be on here, and you actually reached back out to me after a little while of me prodding you for 6 months.
Well,
so.
I was having a baby. So,
oh, come on. We all got know, reasons.
A little yeah. busy.
And actually, you waited till just 11 weeks, so you jumped right back in the...
Yeah, I mean, I didn't miss a beat. I went to a closing when he was 2 weeks old.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've done that with all my children. Not my first one because I wasn't in real estate with her.
Yeah.
But my six-year-old, he was 3 days old when I went to a closing. My Holy three-year-old cow. Was 4 days old when I went to a closing.
So the more my, kids you have, the more real estate you do.
Yeah, consistently. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I don't. There are moments where I'm wondering where my sanity has gone. But yeah, I
well.
Know.
That's awesome. I think you're an amazing person, and thanks, I think you do Tim. A great job in real estate.
Thank
and you know, adorable children. You kind of
I
have no idea how you manage it. I don't even like having to when I have to feed the dogs. Like that's like too much. I'm like, oh, what's next? Right? Like, holy cow.
Super independent children for a reason. Yeah. Survival of the fittest in my house.
It's like the natural selection, right? It's yes. Like, yeah. Not all of you are going to make it, but it's okay. somebody's got to go. But that's okay. Well, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Excited to learn more about you and all the stuff that you can bring to the table for everybody to kind of learn how Devin does her stuff.
Well, thanks. Cool. I appreciate it.
And that wraps up another episode of Cut to the Chase with Tim Chase. And you can reach us at agentsuccesspodcast.com.
That wraps up another episode of Agent Success Podcast. Remember, you can find new episodes each week at agentsuccesspodcast.com. We hope you found the insights and best practices shared today truly valuable. And if you did, please subscribe, rate, and leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. Remember, your success is a journey of learning and improvement. So let's keep hustling, thriving, and learning. Until next week, this is Tim Chase.